You are listening to a message that was given at Living Word Chapel, Oracle, Arizona. It is our hope and prayer that God will use this message to speak to you and enrich your life. For more information, visit lwcoracle.org.
So we're in this series called Love Your Neighbor. And one of the real blessings to me was I was introduced to several people here this morning that you came with your neighbor. And so God is already loving on you by bringing you to the house of the Lord and able to worship the Lord Jesus. And I just believe that this message is going to speak to every person that's here in this service. I also want to, before I start, I want the ushers and the greeters, this should have happened already, I want everyone to be passed out a study guide of our small groups. We are in a four-week sermon series, but it also is accompanied by small groups, and every person is going through this study guide. And the great thing about the study guide is you can do this by yourself, you can do it at your job with coworkers, or you can do it with your spouse and your family members, and I think it'll be a real blessing. Also, we handed out these cards last week, which is Love Your Neighbor cards, and it is a card that you could give someone when you do give an act of kindness. You do something special for someone that God places in your life, and you can give them a card, and it has Living Word Chapel on there, and maybe they will come in to a church service and find the love of God and experience how good Jesus is for themselves. So we had a foundational text, a foundational passage that we find in Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40. And in that, it is an answer from Jesus to someone that was asking a question. And remember that in the narrative of the Gospels, in the life of Christ, that there were people that would ask Jesus questions all the time. Some of the questions were legitimate questions, and some of them were questions to try to trick him. And so we find here that there was a question that was asked by a religious leader, and he wanted to know something, but he was really trying to trick Jesus. But the beauty of that question is it helps us today. Amen? Here's how it went. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And how many of you want to know what's the most important thing in God's law? I do. I want to know what's the most important. So Jesus answered, he replied, you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all of your mind. So your heart, your emotions, your soul is your being. Your mind is your intellect. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second, Jesus says, is equally important. It's right there. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, or love your neighbor as yourself. And that's vital to me. And I want to say this. I'm going to say it every time that I talk about this passage, is that you cannot give to someone something you don't possess. So if you don't have love for yourself, how can you love other people? If you think you have no worth, how can you give people worth? Are you with me? You're fearfully and wonderfully made by God. In fact, today in our prayer, during our volunteers, we pray at 8:15. We gather together, and I said, do not let the devil steal what God has done in you. He loves you. You're worth a lot. And you need to know that. So when you grab a hold of that, then you can give it to others. Love your neighbor with that love. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And so we've been going through this Love Your Neighbor series, and each one of the messages have looked at different passages in Scripture. And what we find is as the Bible writers are writing, they go back to this premise of love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, as a foundation of how we live our lives. In fact, last week we learned about the Good Samaritan. And the Good Samaritan was an outcast because he was a half-breed. How many half-breeds do we have here? I'm Mexican, but Mexicans, you need to understand that you're half Spaniard and half Indian. And I'm from Chinatown, so there might be some Asian. I don't know. There's a lot of different ethnicities. But here's what I know for sure. God loves me. And we found that this despised Samaritan, that he did what the other Jewish ethnical pure breeds did not do. In fact, religious people were not doing what this Samaritan did. And I want to move forward, and I want to talk about how generosity plays a part in loving your neighbor. And that's what we're going to do with Joanna Beeler this Sunday. We're going to be generous. I pray we bless her for the faithful service that she's done for the Lord, right? I want to go to Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 10 and 11. So if you got your Bibles, will you go there? If you don't have your Bible, it's on your outline. It'll be on the screen. And I'm going to be reading from the Message paraphrase. It's a paraphrase, but I love the way that Eugene Peterson puts it. And here in the backstory, Moses is commanding the children of Israel to take care of their neighbors, to take care of their fellow brothers and sisters that are Israelites, but also to take care of those that are foreigners. And so God's always had a heart for people. He's always wanted his people, us, to have a heart for others. And I love how verse 10 starts. It says, give freely and spontaneously. Don't have a stingy heart. How many of you in here have a stingy heart? Raise your hand if you have a stingy heart. How many of us have a generous heart? I pray we do, right? The way you handle matters like this triggers God. In other words, your generosity, your God's blessing in everything you do. All your work and ventures. So how we handle generosity will really, it'll either open up God's blessing, and I'm not talking like a prosperity preacher. I'm not saying that. It's not what, you know, the more you give, the more you're going to get. That's not what I'm saying. What the Word of God is saying is that when you are an open hand Christian, when you allow the Lord to bestow his blessings on you and you bless others with those blessings, good things happen. Say amen if you believe that. Because God does bless his people. There are always going to be poor and needy among you. Hence, Pakistan. Hence, Afghanistan. Hence, Mexico. Guatemala, when we go there, and there's people that are hurting. Hence, different places in our country. There will always be needy and poor people among you. So I command you, sometimes be generous. What did it say? Always be generous. Open purse and hands. Give to your neighbors in trouble, your poor and hurting neighbors. So I want us to look at three things. And my prayer is that in these three points or these three takeaways, that the Lord is going to generate something very special in our hearts. He's going to do something in our lives that maybe we're not walking in at this moment. And the first thing, what does it look like? What loving our neighbors with and through acts of generosity, what does that look like? It looks like this. Here's the first thing. Love your neighbors with outside the box generosity. One of the dangers for people, or even, let's put it this way, man-made religion, is that it's very easy for us to put God in a box. And we say, God operates this way, and this is the only way that God operates. And the fact of the matter is that God is a lot bigger than us. In fact, in our elders' prayer at 7 a.m., we were together praying for our services, praying. This big conversation started about the deep things of God and how do you come to faith and how does that happen? And the reason it started was because yesterday we had a memorial service here and it was packed, jam-packed with people. And as all these people were here, most of them, the majority, were unchurched people. And they would never have been here if it would not have been for this person that passed away. And this person did not come to Living Word Chapel, but the family sought us out because they had heard that we do services for people in general. It doesn't matter if they're part of Living Word Chapel or not. And so we did the service, and we never charge. And this is a great thing about you guys and the blessing that you are and your generosity is that we never charge anybody a dollar amount for doing a memorial or funeral service here at Living Word Chapel. The reason we don't charge is because they already have enough of a burden going on in their lives when they lose a loved one. And so they were here, and I shared the gospel as we do in every service that we have here. I shared the gospel because many people have never heard the good news of Jesus Christ. And they were mourning the loss of this young lady, 52 years old, that passed away in a tragic accident where she was hit by a train. Her vehicle was hit by a train. It was on all over the news in Avro Valley, and she died in that wreck, in that accident. And so people were here and they were listening. And so I shared the gospel and I asked people if they wanted to receive Jesus as their Savior so they could know for sure that they were saved and they had confessed Jesus as their Lord. And there were, I know this for a fact, there were at least 22 people that said yes to Jesus Christ yesterday. And the reason I say 22 is because Christy Chavez, who's our media director and took care of all the logistics, she said, after 22, I could not see any more. You know, there was hands raised up, but I lost count after 22. So at least 22, God knows how many more. And so it's through the generosity of people that we're able to give the love of God and not put God in a box. Are you with me? In these memorial services, we don't talk about how good the person was that passed away, even though we will say good things about them, but the only one that's good is Jesus Christ. And as long as we keep our hearts open to him and his grandness, the more that he will do in and through our lives. Someone needs to hear this. Get God out of your box. He's too big for that box. If you're struggling emotionally or you're struggling mentally, it's because the God that you're serving is too small in this little box. Let him out of that box so that he can do the work that only God can do. So here it in this narrative right here, it says, give freely and spontaneously. In other words, there should be a freedom and an excitement in our generosity. That's what keeps the passion burning for the things of God and for the people who God allows you to bless. When you allow God to use you as a channel of his love and his grace, and you do it through spontaneity, it's a beautiful thing. In other words, don't ever leave your house thinking, this is what my day is going to be about. Give room for God. Joanna said it perfectly when you start to think, these are my plans, and you try to fit God in those plans, that's not the way it works. You say, God, what are your plans for me? Every day is another day. Every day is another opportunity. It's a day that God's going to do some things that are incredible. So he says, don't have a stingy heart, because when you have a stingy heart, you're putting God inside your box. I don't have money. I have so much debt. I've got all these things. Well, first of all, if you think about it, all of us in America are pretty blessed with our finances monetarily compared to the majority of the world. Say amen if you believe that. So God blesses us with monetary blessings, and in those blessings, he's leading us, encouraging us, directing us to be good stewards of what he's blessed us with. Amen? So one of the things that we talk about, and we kind of boast about it, but in a humble way, at Living Word Chapel, at both the Oracle campus and the Kearney campus, we're completely debt-free, and that's beautiful. Do you know why? It allows us to give. And be free to give and be spontaneous in our giving, because we don't have the debt that can hold you back. So we see here, you know, that when we allow the Lord to open our hearts up, then we're following this. The way you handle matters like this will begin to trigger God, and God's blessing in everything we do, in all of our work, and all of our ventures, God is going to take care of us. And here's what I know for sure, and I keep using Joanna as an example, and the reason for that is because I believe that it's providential that God has you here today for this very reason. I believe that God knew that this message was going to be preached on the day that you were going to be here, because I'm just following a calendar that I put together that has messages, and you fall on this day. You being here falls on this day. And so the Lord is orchestrating this, and he's saying to us, he's saying to me especially, is that I take care of my people. Not only is he going to take care of Joanna, he's going to take care of her mother as she cares for her. He's going to take care of your father as you care for him, because of him working in and through you. And someone needs to know that today. Not only that you that are sitting here, but you that are watching, you need to know that God is going to take care of the people that he's put in your life that you think it's too difficult. I don't know how much more I can handle. God says, I got this. Take me out of that box. I got this. Don't let your heart get stingy. Let me trigger something. Let me have the pistol in my hand. Let me work like only I can work. You will never know how amazing generosity is until you activate it. And especially when you allow the creativity of God to take over in your life. Are you with me? Here's the second thing. Acts of generosity, they look like this. We love our neighbors by continually prioritizing the poor and the hurting. I believe that God is a sovereign God, and I believe that there's providence in our lives. In other words, God, by his mercy and grace, has allowed giftings in people so that you can become who you become. It's by his grace and his mercy. So if you've been a CEO, it's by God's grace. If you've been a COO, it's by God's grace. If you've been, you know, James Reese as a pastor, it's by God's grace. I don't deserve this. It's God's grace. Amen? And he puts us in places so that we can leverage his goodness and bring relief to people in need. Amen? So we are called to prioritize people that are poor. We are called to prioritize people that are hurting. And you need to know they will always be here. There will always be poor. There will always be people hurting. And I believe that God called us not only to this, not to feed them fish, but to show them how to fish. It's one thing to feed people. It's another thing to teach them how to feed themselves. Say amen if you believe that. One of the smartest men to ever live, his name was Albert Einstein. How many of you know who Albert Einstein is? Yeah, some of you know him personally. And this smart dude, and you're in the house of God, by the way. You said that personally, you know. But here's what Albert Einstein said. He said, the world is a dangerous place. Not because of those who do evil, but it's dangerous because of those who look on and do nothing. We will never be able to say that we didn't have an opportunity to do good in our world. I'll never be able to say that, because every day that God gives me breath, it's an opportunity for me to do good for somebody. I may not have more money than some people, but I know that I have more money than other people. I may not have a house as big as some people, but I know I have a house bigger than some people. When I've gone to Guatemala, Central America, and shared with other pastors and taught some Bible courses there. In different missions trips that we've done, and we've done pastors training, those pastors walked to those training centers 10 plus miles in a day. I know for a fact that I'm blessed by God to have what I have. And for us not to give back to those people in need, we're doing a disservice to God. So God speaking through Moses and Moses speaking to the Israelites, he said this: there are always going to be poor and needy people among you. But that is what God is speaking to you and to me as his vessel. I know that there will always be people that are in need. The question is, what are we going to do with those people that are in need? And there's two responses to this. We can say, Lord, use me as a vessel, or you can say, oh, they got themselves into this place. That was our conversation at Real Men here in Oracle. It was the conversation of people that are hurting and they're needy, and maybe they're at an intersection, and so the discussion started, and they say, well, some of these people they're taking advantage of others, and they're making more money than other people just by panhandling and all these different things. And then you got to take a step back and you say, Lord, I need your wisdom, because I want to make a difference for your glory, Lord. And when I give, it's between you and them. Hear me now. This is important right here. So when God puts a conviction in your heart to do something for somebody else, you've got to say, Lord God, I'm going to trust you to work through this. And what they do with it is between you and them, because you do things better than we do. Are you with me? Generosity always starts with the premise that it's unconditional, or else it's a payment. I want you to do this with them, and I want you to do this. No. Generosity says, I'm going to bless you because of the one who blessed me, and I'm going to let God lead you with whatever you do with it. Amen? Jesus cared about the poor. The disciples cared about the poor. In fact, there's a time in the Gospels where they're getting ready to... This woman comes in, and she begins to cry on the feet of Jesus, and she begins to wash his feet with her tears and her dry it off with her hair. And they say, Judas says, we could have used that money for to help a lot of people. And Jesus said this, and it kind of helps me to prioritize. Jesus said something that was important to them, and it's important to us. He says, you always will have the poor with you. But what he was telling them, but right now I'm here. So here's the important thing. God has to be my priority, and then the Lord will direct me into what are his priorities. But the poor and the needy are always God's priorities. In fact, when you look at the book of Acts, and you look at the work of the church, as they were being led, the Lord was moving through the apostles, and it started out a very Jewish faith system. It started in Israel, in Jerusalem. Jesus was Jewish, and he came for the Jews first, and then for the Gentiles. And we see that as the Apostle Paul, who was a Pharisee before he came to Christ, and he started going out, and the Apostle Paul, because of his time with the Lord, he understood it was Jesus plus nothing. Amen? Jesus plus nothing is everything, but people wanted to put law on this, and so they had this council. They had this gathering of all the big pillars of the church in Jerusalem, and from that, they said, it's Jesus plus nothing. We're saved by grace and grace alone, right? But here's what the outcome was. He said that because of this that had happened, their heart was for them to always have the poor and needy in mind. That we should always do that. Okay, so here's the third and final takeaway that I want us to consider. Loving your neighbors who are down and out through our generosity is always at the heart of God. Who's my neighbor? Any person God places in my path who has a need is my neighbor. We settled that, right? This is what the Message paraphrase again puts it like this. So I command you, always be generous, open purse, open hands, give to your neighbors who are in trouble, your poor and your hurting neighbors. And I started pondering, why was this a command? Why did the Lord speak through Moses and command the Israelites to prioritize the poor and the hurting? I'll tell you why I believe it was a command in the Old Testament. It's because of this. If we're left on our own to decide what we're going to do for those that are poor and hurting, usually we're going to pick to do things our way. Amen? But when God says, this is what I want you to do, and we say, this is your way to help those that are down and out, I always want to choose God's way. And sometimes God has to encourage me. Sometimes God has to move me. God has to do something to prod me to do things that maybe I don't want to do. And generosity, a lot of times, we don't want to do. Amen? If I ask my grandson, my granddaughters, hey, you want to go to Disneyland or you want to go give some money to someone that's hurting? Disneyland. They can get their own money. It's not something that comes naturally to us. It's something that we need God to lead us. Paul, writing to the Galatians, he said this about, and this is the scripture that I was looking for right now. I finally found it in my notes. I was talking about this council that they had, and they were wrestling. They had this tension of how should we live out this Christian life. Here's what Paul writes to the Galatians. He said, and he's talking about the Jerusalem council. He said, their only suggestion was that we keep on helping the poor, which I have always been eager to do. So you know what it says to Living Word Chapel? That we should always be helping the poor. And we should always be helping those who help the poor. Amen? Think with me, guys. This is so important. Joanna Beeler, nurse practitioner, nurse, she could have done anything she wanted here in the States, but she followed the call of God into Pakistan. She deserves a blessing. She deserves because of what the Lord has done in her and through her. Paul again, in Acts chapter 24, verse 17, not only would Paul say it, he lived it. Look at what it says in chapter 24, verse 17. After several years away, I returned to Jerusalem. I'm going to pause right there. After years, and what was Paul doing? He was a missionary all over the world, starting churches, building churches. We are who we are because of God using the Apostle Paul. Us who are Gentile. He says, after several years away, I returned to Jerusalem. How did I return? With money to aid my people. And the reason that he went there to help the Jerusalem church was because there was a huge famine in Jerusalem. And God used the Gentile churches to be a blessing to them. And then he said, and to offer sacrifices to God. So I'm going to close by saying this. There will always be a need. And we all have a choice to meet the need and bring glory to God. And it's not by having to, it's by allowing the Spirit of God to lead us and direct us by grace. Amen?
This has been a message from Living Word Chapel. We hope that you've been blessed by it. Make sure you check out lwcoracle.org for more information.